Hey, welcome in everybody. This is the South Lot Football Guys podcast, back for the annual Super Bowl episode. We've got the trio in full effect here, sitting here alongside Robbie and Adam. We've got props galore set up on the spreadsheet here. We're going to get into the game, and we'll get into all the fun stuff. And, you know, we'll be talking to Usher for sure. But are we excited for Super Bowl Sunday, guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, can't wait. I know last or 2 weeks ago, this was kind of the one matchup I wasn't rooting for, but it's a fucking Super Bowl. You know, best day of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. This is not what I wanted. I wanted at least one of the Ravens or Lions in there. But, hey, we still got the Super Bowl, so that's fine.
Yeah, I would. I think after the divisional round games, we were kind of lucky. It was always going to be a good matchup, you know, with those final four teams. But why don't we do a quick recap of the championship games and how we did? In terms of the locks of the week, Adam, you had Lions +3. That's a big push.
Yeah, you know what? I had Lions +7, and I got a little aggressive once Robbie gave out that plus money block, so I'll take a push.
Yeah, you definitely earned
that should have been a win.
You earned a lot more than a push there. that was a tough second half. Robbie, Gus Edwards, anytime touchdown.
So I missed.
We might just parlay this into the asshole of the week here in a sec if you really want to go off.
Oh my god!
We could wait a second. Yeah, that was just I could. Okay, keep moving on.
Yeah, I had Ravens -3.5. We could double
so
down on
I
that.
Missed.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of go together. I mean, if we're going to skip the hold off on the parlay or come back to it.
Well, we did have the podcast parlay.
We did have the podcast parlay.
We had a good podcast parlay.
It was good until it wasn't, but we had Lions first quarter, which was tremendous. Montgomery anytime touchdown, and then Lions money line.
No, we had Lions spread. We hit all three.
Oh, did we? Yeah. We went spread. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. We got all three.
Yeah, no.
It's been 2 weeks. I forgot.
The scary part with the Lions spread was that Lions ended up going down 10 up until late, and then the late touchdown over Jameson Williams kind of helped save our asses. There's no way the Lions should have been down by 10 after that first half at any point in that second half. That was just crazy.
Yeah, that was a collapse. But, yeah, we'll touch on that. We have multiple candidates for asshole of the week.
Yeah, I guess my first submission would be Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, John Harbaugh.
One of the Harbaughs.
One of the Harbaughs. Maybe both. Definitely John Harbaugh, though. The offensive game plan and just the inability to commit to the run game after, like, things didn't go their way for, like, 5 minutes, so they just abandoned it.
Well, you know what? I felt a little bit, I don't even know what you say, commended or
vindicated.
Vindicated, because I listened to a lot of, you know, high-end NFL talking heads that I really respect post-championship weekend just rip the game plan, and even rip how Justice Hill was in there for pass protect, and he was, I mean, the rep splits between the running backs, Gus Edwards should have been the running back in most of the game, and Justice Hill was in there. He was absolutely horrible at pass protecting. He didn't give you anything in the run game, barely anything in the passing game. Honestly, I think it was the reason why they lost the game. They didn't commit to the run, and just horrible game plan for offensively from the Ravens.
Yeah, that was it for me too. It just was so frustrating to see. Well, Justice Hill getting the start, it's like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, that's what the Ravens do. They switch up their backs. But when you saw him, like, just running right into a wall every single time, get blown up in pass coverage, and then the first time Gus Edwards gets in, he gets two rushes, like, over 10 yards each, and just wild.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe they didn't just switch their game plan up, because then after that point, Lamar is just thinking, okay, I got to carry this team. I got to do something to beat Mahomes. And, you know, that he kind of did it to himself just because they didn't have a good run game to compliment him. So
it was just wild. Gus Edwards was maybe on the field for, like, I think it was like
four plays.
I was going to say five snaps, and I was like, that might be generous. And two of those snaps, he made tremendous plays.
Yes.
Like incredible.
He picked up some great blocks, too.
Yeah, this horrible.
Well, that touchdown pass that Lamar threw was only because Gus Edwards stayed in the play and picked up a late block. But yeah, that was
embarrassing. I mean, us three, we're not NFL coaches. We're just fans. We're casual fans, and we were just noticing how much of a detriment that Justice Hill was to their offenses being in the game, and for nobody to pick up on that on the entire Ravens coaching staff was inexcusable.
Yeah, it was an abomination. But tough one for Lamar. They still almost win that. They probably win that game if Zay Flowers doesn't fumble. I think if that game goes to overtime,
they probably win
that game.
I mean, Zay Flowers definitely played like an asshole, but I mean, he played good though. Too.
He wasn't the only one though. It was an undisciplined effort all around.
I felt bad for that defense, especially in the second half. They had so many three and outs.
And then the defense got frustrated because the offense just couldn't do anything. So, you know, it was just bad news for the Ravens.
Yep. It's hard to blame Lamar. Just because, you know, if you're going to throw the ball 80% of the time, then defense can gear up for that. And I don't know, just the whole game plan in general did not give Lamar any favors. And
he was asked
to do more than he should have been for how good that team is and how good that defense is.
All right, now on to the Niners and Lions game. Lions, of course, broke out to a just huge lead just to cough it away in the second half. Kind of a combination of, you know, tough turnovers and in the case of the dropsies, and then
Josh Reynolds asshole of the week.
Josh Reynolds catches like one of three big drops in that second half. They probably win the game, but just a tough look. I can't blame Dan Campbell for going for it because he's been doing it all year. So he stayed true to himself. So you know.
I think in part
at least he was consistent.
I think in part that's been the problem with it. I mean, the Lions haven't really had that many tough opponents this year, in my opinion. And you know, they've been giving up. They've been having all year some big first halves and blowing it in the second half. And to me, Dan Campbell's just been, he's been aggressive to start, but then defenses start catching on second half. They change. Make adjustments, and he's just still way too aggressive. It's like, hey, you got this lead. Sometimes you just gotta take some points, you know, get some points on the board. Just keep increasing that lead. Don't do this risky shit that's gonna give the other team a chance to come back in it. And that's what he did. That's what he's been doing all year. Which I mean, it's been working, but this time clearly hasn't because the Niners were able to capitalize.
Yeah, how many times have you brought up the Lions third quarter? Fading them in the third quarter money line
lot.
This year.
A lot.
Quarter Rob. There's a reason for that. And that's, the trends and the stats say that they just, they're not a good second half team. They live by the sword, die by the sword.
You agree, Jenny?
Yeah, it's a tough beat for the Lions fans out there. I was pulling for them, but, I still think the core is good, and I think they'll be back. They got a strong foundation to build upon. So
it's good for them that Ben Johnson is sticking with the Lions. You know, that's good. That offense has been clicking all year. So
good for him too.
I like it.
Yeah.
Clearly, they've got like some unfinished business in Detroit. So I like where that organization's going. You know, as a little brother in the NFC North.
that, and they got Waluigi in the. Up in Green Bay, so it'll be a good division going forward.
All right, well, let's get on to the two winners, I suppose, of this matchup and talk a little Super Bowl, guys. So starting it off, you know, we'll stick with kind of the game analysis here to start. I'll break it down how we normally do, but the line in this game currently is Chiefs plus two with the over-under set at 47.5. If that's not a Vegas number for an over-under, I don't know what is. This is a good game. I mean, these are two teams that are hot right now. Two very good defenses, and you know, both these teams have shown that they can really run the ball well when they have to. That's part of the reason why you know, they've succeeded. You know, in the Chiefs' case, really, they've been able to build leads and kind of protect them. Niners have had to come back in each of their postseason wins here. So, kind of interesting, especially with Purdy under center, that that's how they've had to get to the Super Bowl to this point. But, you know, we'll start here. Robbie, why don't you kick us off and we'll go around the horn. What are kind of your expectations for this game? How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, so how I'm seeing this game is, you know, I do think it's going to be a close one. I could see it going either way. I know all the sharps out there are kind of, they waited till the Chiefs line was, it was shifting to the Chiefs so much and then started to slam the Niners, which, you know, from a statistical standpoint, you know, I'd agree with that. You know, Niners, they're just such a well-built team and, you know, their offense, they've got all their weapons going, you know, defense is strong. You know, they definitely look like a stronger team on paper than Chiefs, but I actually do think that just the postseason experience is what's going to take the Chiefs over. Pat Mahomes has done this so many times. Hell, this team, the same offense, when I was writing these props in earlier, I realized, wow, there's like nobody on the Chiefs offense who this is their first Super Bowl besides Rashee Rice. And, you know, that's something to say, you know, to me. And on the other side of the ball, you know, Kyle Shanahan in critical moments like this, he hasn't really performed to expectations. So to me, I'm going to side with the Chiefs. I just can't bet against Pat Mahomes. I know everybody's hitting the Chiefs up on this one, and it feels like a trap, but I just can't steer away from him. You know, the big players get it done in big moments, and Mahomes, I think he's going to be able to get it done in this.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. I'm gonna side with the Chiefs. You know, I've been saying it all postseason, and the 49ers just keep on winning, but I really think that they're a little overrated as a team. Their defense hasn't played good since, I feel, week seven. Their biggest strength on defense is their outside edge rushing, and the way the Chiefs are built, honestly, the strength of their team is the middle three O linemen, and they don't allow pressure up the middle. As much as they're paying Hargraves and some of the other D tackles on the 49ers, they have really underperformed the last, you know, 3 months. So I don't think they're going to get pressure up the middle, and that's really what Mahomes, his detriment is. I mean, you saw it, you know, when Mahomes struggles and the Chiefs struggles, he's running for his life, and it's usually from pressure up the middle. But, you know, outside rushing, he's athletic enough, he's capable, his pocket presence is good enough where he can evade it and a lot of times make big plays out of broken plays. You know, that's what makes him the best player in the NFL. So for that to be the antidote against the 49ers' greatest strength on defense, I think that it's just a really good matchup for the Chiefs. And then on the other side, I kind of expect the 49ers to have success on offense, but I think Legarius Sneed is really going to try to put a blanket on Ayuk, and I can see Debo having a big game, Kittle having a big game. I think we'll get to some of the picks, but just in general, players I like to do well. I like Debo, Kittle. I think Juszczyk gets involved in the passing game. And then on the Chiefs side, obviously I like Kelce, but I like a lot of their ancillary players to have decent games. I think they're going to spread it out. I think Noah Gray has a good game. I think Watson has a good game. I even think Richie James has a catch or two. Yeah, I'm excited. But I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I think this one could be a little bit more high scoring than at least I thought about when this matchup, you know, we found out about this matchup 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm going to lean with the Niners here, especially since it's dropped to -2. This is a tight one for me. I can't fault you for going either way on this. I've been wrong all year not taking Mahomes with the points here in this postseason, so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if I was wrong again. But in this occasion, the tiebreaker was I feel like the world is on the Chiefs right now, and I think Vegas makes the most money probably with the Niners cover. So I'll try to let that work for me, but, you know, that could blow up in my face. In terms of, you know, the X's and O's, Adam, you touched on it. The Niners really invested a lot in their defensive line to generate pressure, and that's the strength of their defense. But they're going up against Mahomes, who is arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now at avoiding sacks. You know, big reason why the Chiefs are able to have success is because they don't put themselves in third and long situations. They get easy yards on their early downs, and they're able to get the ball out quick in third downs. And Patrick Mahomes' pocket presence and his ability to create when the play breaks down really makes him tough to defend. I watched recently the 2021 AFC Championship where the Chiefs lost to the Bengals at home after being up, I think they were up 21-3 in the game. And the reason why they lost that game was because Mahomes took, in that second half, like 4 or 5 bad sacks, and they were unable to convert. I think, you know, you look at his performance over the last couple of years and how he's come a long way to correct some of those mistakes. I think he's made it a point of emphasis, and, you know, I think the Chiefs, that could make things tough. But ultimately, why I think the Niners are going to win this game is I think that they're going to be able to win on the line of scrimmage at the offensive end and really run the ball well with a combination of, you know, Mitchell, McCaffrey, of course, and Debo. I think that they're really going to put a lot of pressure on the Chiefs front seven. And if they commit to the run game and don't get concerned if they fall down, you know, seven points early, they just stick with the run game, I think that they'll be able to be the more physical team here and force those Chiefs safeties to have to creep up into the box and, you know, could open up big play potential and play action for Purdy, which is where we know he's at his best. I'm a big believer in, you know, this Niners offense. I think it's impressive that basically the formula to beat that team was to make Brock Purdy win, and he's done exactly that to get him to this point. You know, it's I just think that's a huge testament to how well-rounded this team is at this point. Nobody would have thought that this Niners team with Brock Purdy under center could manage the comebacks that they staged against Green Bay and the Lions, albeit they were at home, but still, I think you have to give Purdy his credit. You know, I definitely think at this point he's a top 12 quarterback, or you could at least say that, you know, it's definitely a top 12 system in the NFL.
His production is top 10.
Yeah.
Whether he's a top 10 quarterback, yeah, I agree.
He's also best quarterback under pressure this year.
Yeah.
Best passer rating, so.
And it's not like he's made big time throws down the stretch in both of these games. It's not all yak. It's not like he's running screens. He's had to put the ball on the sideline, down the field, beat zone coverage, to win these games, and he's done it. So I have to give him a lot of credit. And, you know, I think we were all thinking that the Niners were the best team last year before he got hurt. And, you know, we all know what happened in that Eagles game. But in the back of my mind, there still is this memory of that Chiefs team, you know, that struggled, you know, weeks, you know, 12 through 14. And I got to wonder if that there's still a little bit of that DNA in there. You know, the Niners certainly had a hiccup after that Ravens loss at home. But, you know, these are two very good rosters, two worthy teams to be in here. So I'm expecting a really tight game. I just think when it comes down to it, if the Niners can run the ball like they've shown that they have so far this season and in seasons past, that I think they'll be able to wear down the Chiefs and just be the more physical team. So I'll lead the Niners, but this is a close game. And I'm kind of thinking under here as well from the 47.5, just with how well the Chiefs defense in particular has played. But on the other hand, you know, the Niners offense has been an over machine this postseason. And Adam, you said it, you know, the Niners defense hasn't exactly looked like world beaters here lately, so I wouldn't be surprised if the over came in. But you know, it's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not putting huge money on either the spread or the total here. I there's definitely more props that I like in this particular game that I think will pay out a little bit better. But you know, I can't fault anybody for going anyway.
Yeah, I'm on the under as well. I'm gonna give like I'll say 43, you know, just for the playoff challenge purposes, you know, so I get it on record, so people don't think I'm doing some shady crap over here. And also on that, even though I'm on the Chiefs, I'm currently sitting at sixth place in our record. I think other people are going with the Chiefs, so I'm gonna actually be going with the Niners in our playoff challenge. So
is that legal?
Well, I'm saying it right now before everything gets released tomorrow. Okay, so all right. Got some safe, sort of safe, you know, thing to go back on, like, hey, yeah, I said this Thursday night. So yeah, I my bets are on the Chiefs, but that play I'm going with the Niners.
Okay.
But, yeah, I kind of like leaning the under too, but now that I think about it, what Adam kind of mentioned a little bit, you know, maybe I could definitely see it going over as well, but 43 is my number for total points. I think that's a good line for the most part.
43?
Yeah, I'm thinking 43 total, so okay. I'm going under. I think 47.5 where it's at is a good line. I'm not going to do anything with that line, so I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I actually think I probably placed the same game parlay last week or 2 weeks ago after the Sunday games, the championship games, and I was on the under, but I've since kind of switched, and I think I'm going to lean over. But, I feel better about the Chiefs getting 2 points than I do about the under. But to be honest with you, I think most of my bets are going to be prop bets, specialty bets, novelty bets. I don't have a strong feeling either way on the spread or the points for this game.
All right. Well, if that's the case, why don't we get into some of these props that are out there, and we'll dive in. So we'll start it off here. We've got our national anthem length. The queen of country, Reba McEntire, is going to be at the helm for this one. And currently the line is 1 minute and 28 seconds. I watched a clip of Reba doing a national anthem for a Cowboys game in like 1999. And she blazed through the national anthem. Like, no bullshit, no filler, no nothing. Very workmanlike effort. And she got it in at 1 minute and 29 seconds in like 60 milliseconds. So she got under that 90-second mark. But, again, there was nothing. Like, there was zero dolling it up. This is the Super Bowl. This is Las Vegas. She's become a much bigger star in the last 20 years. She had her own TV show. For those of us that watched the CW growing up, we know. You know, a single mom that works too hard. This is going over. She's gonna you know, let a few of these notes ring out. I can't see this under hitting. This is an automatic over for me.
Yeah, it's a shame this is only on offshore books. But we love to throw these kinds on. I guess before we really get too deep into this, we're our whole prop bet thing. If you haven't been with us in previous years, you know, we do a little challenge on a whole bunch of props. We compete between the three of us, and winner gets some sort of dinner. I don't know if we've determined what that's going to be. But basically each prop, I did adjust the scoring this year. Before, it was, if it was like a negative odds, right, I'd do like, if it was minus 400, it'd be bet four to win one, but this time it's going to be bet one to win 0.25, right? So it doesn't really kill you that much. If you lose one of those safe bets, it's more like the safe bet is going to be like, I'm not so sure, so it's just a throwaway almost, right? But yeah, I'm screaming over on this one too. I don't think any national anthem has really gone under 90 seconds in a Super Bowl, has it? I don't even know. I swear they're all like over 2 minutes easy. So I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I think this, the line started at 100. Or 1 minute and like 32 seconds, and it's gone down a full 4 seconds.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy.
Inside take.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's probably going to hit the over, I think, but just for the juice purposes, I'd lean under here. But I think it's probably a good line.
All right. This is where, you know, the real brain trust resides. The coin toss. Adam, you start this one off because you've got a take here that I just don't understand.
You know, I'm a heads guy. So give me the heads.
True contrarian.
I think I've done heads for like last couple of years and it like has not hit. So
it's always tails.
It's always tails.
It's always tails. All right.
Is there a Bush member of the family going to do the flip? That could change my.
Now, Robbie, this next one, oh, my God.
No.
Lockjaw.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Robbie, I want to, I kind of am reserving my take here because I remember you had some knowledge on this particular prop a few years ago.
I have. I didn't really, honestly, I have not really done any research at all on that.
But what was the take? Wasn't it like the ball is different for the Super Bowl? It's like not as used or something? We should, okay, hold on. Let me introduce the prop is opening kickoff touchback.
Yeah, it's something, it's like a special ball that, well, it's only used for the kickoff, that it's a little more, God, I can't remember what some kicker was talking about this years ago, but it's a little firmer than the usual one, so it doesn't go as far. So, you know, no touchback is a little more favorable. So, but, you know, I think I'm on, yes. I say, I think I'm on because I'm restarting my laptop because it froze up.
You are on, yes.
I believed I'm on, yes, just because both these kickers, just from recent knowledge, I swear, just keep booting it out of the end zone.
Butker certainly does, yeah.
I don't think it's going to make a difference what kind of ball is used for the first kick, so.
Maybe if it's moody, a little first game jitters.
Could be, yeah. I mean, Niners have Shanks been one? Wanting to kick off the ball first quarter a lot lately. That's kind of been their MO. So, you know, I could see that.
The juice is heavy on the yes, minus 310. No, plus 245. I'm gonna roll with a no, but. Because I remembered you had a take about it that was definitely on the no touchback, but the fact that you're off, that concerns me. So I probably won't put any money on it.
That's just more. I have not done research
at all. When the special teams guru is off, then you know you got to rethink.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. Just Same reason as the under for the national anthem. I kind of like the odds. Plus two, I don't know. Neither team has a good return game. I just think Super Bowl.
Maybe Ray McCloud feeling himself a little bit back
there. Yeah, somebody's feeling themselves. Want to throw up a wave after the kickoff. Just tell his family he's there, you know. I'll take the no there. Plus 225 or 245.
All right.
Take it out to the 5-yard line. Hey, Mom.
All right, this is a fun one. First touchdown score either.
Do we want to start with individual teams or go with the either first?
No, we can start with the individual teams. I suppose that makes more sense.
Good call.
First touchdown score, Chiefs then. I'll go through the odds here. Pacheco, plus 260. Kelsey, plus 285. Rashee Rice, plus 400. Mahomes, plus 1,100. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, plus 1,400. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, plus 1,500. Justin Watson, plus 1,600. Jerick McKinnon, 1,700. Noah Gray, 2,200. No Kansas City touchdown, 2,500. Sky Moore, 2,500. Young Joka Kadarius Toney, 2,800. Mecole Hardman, 2,800. Richie James, 2,800. LaMichael Pirine, 6,000. Blake Bell, 6,000. Do I got to keep going?
I don't think you got to keep going. All right. LaMichael Pirine. Is he even going to get more than a snap?
We were really in the weeds there. Okay. Robbie, is your laptop booted up?
I'm pulling up right now, so we're good.
Okay.
I know who I picked for this. This is a little take not based on stats at all, because Pat Mahomes, he has not had a single rushing touchdown this year. So it feels like a better bet, but Mahomes has historically in the Super Bowl ran significantly more than his average. It's just one of those games where he just decides to take it into his own hands, and he could do it. So, I kind of like the odds. What was it, plus 1,400? Still loading up a little bit, but I like that kind of those odds to take for first touchdown. Other than Mahomes, I could see it being Kelsey. I could see him being Pacheco, but I just think those are some of the best odds. So I'm going to go with Mahomes breaking it and just doing some superhero stuff.
Adam?
Yeah, not to get into some of my lock of the week, but my best place. But I think, especially with the Chiefs and Matt Nagy and Andy Reid having 2 weeks of prep for this game, I think they're going to get a little exotic in the red zone. I remember, the first year we did this podcast, I was all over Mahomes' first touchdown in the this rematch of the Super Bowl here, or the first iteration, and Mahomes was the first touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if they roll out some option play or some exotic, double handoff or something we haven't seen before. But having said that, I do like Mahomes' first touchdown. I like the odds, and I think, the fact that he hasn't been utilized in the red zone this year is probably a benefit to him actually having a good opportunity here. So that's going to be my play for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with, in this particular instance, I'm thinking Noah Gray for the Chiefs. This is going to start a trend for me here. Love some Noah Gray props in this one. I just think the value here at, what's he at? Is plus 2,200, I think? Yeah. Plus 2,200 for Noah Gray. Really, really good value. If you're watching the AFC Championship game closely, he was out on the field. I'd say I was just eyeballing it, but I feel pretty comfortable saying 60% of snaps he was on the field for. Especially early on in the game, was very involved with the score tight. Chiefs were running, a lot of multiple tight end sets, and he was getting involved. And I think the Chiefs, they like to do a lot of exotic movements with the tight ends in short yardage situations. That's one of the hallmarks of the Andy Reid offense. And I think, he could get involved in the red zone early and perhaps lock up that first touchdown. So I'm going to go Noah Gray, 2,200. All right. First touchdown scorer for the Niners. Odds are Christian McCaffrey plus 165, Debo plus 450, Brandon Ayuk 550, George Kittle 550, Purdy 1500, Juwan Jennings 1800, Elijah Mitchell 2000, no San Francisco touchdown plus 2200, Juszczyk plus 2500. That's where I'll stop. All right. Personally, I like the Kittle value here. Getting him at plus 550, I think, is pretty solid. You know, it seems like he's matchup dependent almost. You know, some games he's featured, sometimes he isn't. Sometimes he's utilized more in blocking. But I think, especially with the Chiefs secondary, you know, really being one of the strengths of their defense, maybe they're trying to use the middle of the field more and expose the linebacker matchups. So I'm thinking maybe Kittle could get involved early. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I could see it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I think you should go with it. Yeah, because no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
but
it's all good. I'm with you on Kittle too. I think you hit it right on the head. I think he's a good matchup against this Chiefs defense. Maybe Debo, I think against the linebackers, Bolton's good, but he's not so great against the pass. So I like, I like Kittle.
Yeah, I like Kittle too. It just doesn't seem like they have been getting it to him as often in the red zone. But I'm going to go with Debo. You know, I love this matchup for him. You know, he's a guy who's had 12 touchdowns in the regular season, which kind of sneakily, because he's kind of missed a couple games in there too, including playing in a game where he's only played, I don't know, 10% of the game. So far in the postseason, he has not scored, and I think this is a perfect matchup for him. You know, he was not really – Will was unsure if he was going to play against the Lions. He ended up playing, and he got in my opinion, the worst matchup in that Lions secondary with the rookie Brian Branch, who's been showing some promise in the slot, but which is why I was all over IU anytime touchdown for that game 2 weeks ago. But this time I'm all over Debo right here. Like you said earlier, Adam, Ladarius Sneed going to be all over IU. So this just opens up the slot real, real easy for Debo. And, you know, they love using him in a whole bunch of ways, including rushing down in the end zone. I love Debo Samuel to score the first touchdown. I love him scoring a touchdown, period. It's plus 135, and that one is going to be my lock of the week.
Ooh,
love it. Yep, and of course we unplugged, so.
Oh.
Hey, there we go. Wow, a lot of technical difficulties over at my end.
Oh, ooh, good. All right, so then first touchdown scorer either, quick odds. You've got McCaffrey plus 300, Pacheco plus 550, Kelsey plus 600, Debo plus 900, Kittle plus 900, Ayuk plus 900, Rashee Rice plus 900, Mahomes 1400, Purdy 2000, Juszczyk 2000, Watson 2000, MVS 2000, Juwan Jennings 2300, Mitchell 2500, Edwards-Helaire 2500, Ray-Ray McCloud 3000, Noah Gray 3000. I'm going to go with George Kittle in this instance. Again, similar to the Niners take. I just think he's a good bet to expose maybe the linebacker matchup for the Chiefs. But kind of broke it down already, so I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Yeah, that's fair. I do like you're all over Noah Gray last week and 2 weeks ago, whatever. And you know, I love that too. It definitely seems like they're working him in a little bit more. Maybe anticipating Kelsey might be.
I'll have gone a little. Soon. I'll have a little first touchdown Noah Gray.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm gonna, just for the purposes of this thing, I'm gonna maybe hedge some bets a little bit, but this is the other first touchdown scorer I like for the Niners, and it's Christian McCaffrey. You know, they just, whenever they get in the red zone, it just seems like they've all year the Niners have been just trying to get him the ball to push it in. So it usually happens early, sometimes not. But I will say I noticed it was kind of weird because like this whole postseason McCaffrey's anytime touchdown's been like minus 300, but this game it started off at minus 200. And I'm wondering if there's a little something that he is a little banged up, but I mean, he's McCaffrey. He's got to play through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam,
I'm running it back with Patty Mahomes. First touchdown. It worked to me 5 years ago now, doing it again.
All right. We're going to go first team to score. Chiefs minus 105, Niners 115. I'm going Niners. I don't know. It's just kind of a coin flip to me.
Same. Yeah.
Going Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs. A little knowledge on it is that the Niners have just loved to defer the ball. So that's kind of where my head's at. I think Chiefs are going to be able to score at least a field goal on the first drive. So.
Okay. Jersey number of first touchdown scorer, over 22.5, under 22.5. Over is minus 115. Under is minus 105. So some of the big names for under would be obviously both the quarterbacks, Pacheco, Rashee Rice, Debo. Ayuk. Who am I missing? MVS. Those are the big ones. But the McCaffrey, obviously, he's 23. He'd be over. The tight ends, of course, Kelsey. He would be over. I went over 22.5. Just that I'm leaning Kittle, so I'll stay consistent there.
I'm gonna just lean over too. Call it a hedge. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of these are kind of tied to the answers we had previously. So since I'm on Mahomes, I'm gonna go under.
Yep. First team to use coaches challenge. I went with the Niners, but I don't know why, because I really think I would have set the Chiefs to this question. So I'm going to say Chiefs because I feel like Andy Reid. Oh, now I remember why. Okay. No. I had thought for this. Okay. So, you know, I think we, you know, the Chiefs, it's the NFL's been, you know, the Chiefs are the NFL's darling. So maybe there's a call that, you know, on the field just happens to go the Chiefs way early, okay. But
a sharp take right here.
But upon further review, maybe the refs kind of, you know, brushed over some of the facts. So, you know, Shanahan's got to get a review in. So I'll take the Niners.
Okay, I don't hate that. I just feel like Andy Reid's a little more gung ho with the challenges, so that's why I'm leaning Chiefs. But I don't really have much.
Am I misremembering this, or did Andy Reid have a crazily bad challenge 2 weeks ago?
In the
the Bills game? He challenged that was clearly or I'm
was it that end around play, the fumble?
Yeah, I think he didn't get
at the goal line.
No,
right?
I was thinking it was a fourth down play where he
you're right.
He didn't get the runner didn't get it. Andy re-challenged when it was pretty clear that
you're 100% right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like your take, but I think Andy Reid's just a little bit more of a wild card, like Robbie said.
Okay. Total field goals made. The line is at 3.5. Juice to the under. I'm going to take the over. Both these kickers have been good. Moody's a bit of a wild card, being so new. But, Bucker should be solid. Plus, you've got the fact that both these defenses are really solid and could, you know, make some stops in the red zone. So I think I like the over here with getting the plus 125 juice.
I'm kind of the same and thinking, yeah, a little more field goals than maybe people are expecting, which is kind of why I'm on the under as well for total points. So, I'll go over field goals made.
I'm going to go under. I kind of really like this one, actually. Despite the odds, minus 150 is not great. But Moody has been really bad this year. Don't draft kickers. I don't know. I just kind of think that this one is going to be a pretty tight game, and although that might lead to field goals, I also think that it might also lead to capitalizing the most out of your possessions and maybe going for it on situations that it's more of a 50-50 shot. Do I go for it or do I kick the field goal?
All right. First turnover committed. I said Niners, but they don't really have a take.
I think my take when I saw this is that
Purdy.
Chiefs are, yeah, even odds. Niners are even odds. So, God, I'm going to – I kind of expected the Niners to be favorites in this, to be honest. So that's kind of why Niners and I'm thinking because Purdy, maybe a little jitters on the Niners side. So, yeah, I like the Niners.
Chris Jones bats it up in the air. Nick Bolton catches it for the first pick.
Wow. He's seen it.
Yeah.
He's seen it. All right. Total turnovers. The line is at 2.5. I like the under here. I think both these teams are going to protect the ball well, particularly the Chiefs. I'm not expecting a lot of reckless play, so I think mistakes will be limited.
Can I ask a question? Is Kadarius Toney going to be active? Because that could change how I answer this question.
Even if he is, he's getting maybe five snaps.
Yeah. he's done damage in five snaps this year.
Well, he's a number one wide receiver when he gets the ball in his own mind. So
Young Joker.
Yeah. Get some eyebrows and then we'll talk.
Oh my god, it's a condition.
I'm sorry. He deserves it.
Yeah,
he sucks.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the under. I just think these are two well coached teams, and I'd have a hard time seeing their beep.
Yeah, same. I've got tough time seeing at least three turnovers in this game. You know, I could see maybe one aside, but I don't really see it. So,
does he have alopecia? I thought he was just vibing.
No, I'm pretty sure he has alopecia.
Shit, all right.
I don't know.
I stand by what I said, but
I mean,
if you have alopecia out there,
you could be an asshole and have alopecia.
Yeah.
You could also be Jada Smith and have no hair and I'll still make
She's also an asshole.
Bitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Might come with the territory. I don't know. Most sacks. We've got Chiefs minus 135, Niners plus 200, the tie plus 400. I went with the Chiefs here. I'm just thinking. We talked about a little bit earlier how Mahomes has really been very good at avoiding the pass rush and elite at not taking sacks. So that's why I'm going Chiefs here, but it is heavily juiced.
Another question. If there's no sacks, is that a tie then?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah. I mean, yeah, zero.
I'll flip my answer. I honestly think there's not going to be
a no sack.
Sacks. If there's a no sacks prop bet, I'm going to be on it.
Wow, okay.
No sacks.
Okay.
I could kind of see like one each side. I think this is too close. Yeah. Again, I'm with you. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of sacks. So I'm going to take the plus 400 on the tie. Mahomes, he's going to be tough to take down. Purdy, he's been great under pressure. Give me the tie.
All right. Longest touchdown yardage in the game. The line is at 37.5. I'm going to take the under. I think both these teams are going to do a pretty good job at keeping a lid on the deep ball. And, I think it'll be methodical drives down the field, if anything, but nothing. They'll do good to limit explosive plays. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under, too. I just can't see a whole lot of explosive plays. I'd say if we do see it, it's going to be from the Niners side.
I would agree.
I've actually seen Debo maybe breaking out a big one. Maybe should look at what his longest play is, but I might take that because I could see him being just used and get him in space and just have him break a long one, which he's done plenty of times before, that's for sure.
I'm going to go under here. I agree with everything you just said. If it's going to be anybody, I think it's going to be Debo. Maybe MVS if he gets off on a deep one for the Chiefs. But I think it's going to be a lot of dink and dunk this entire game for both sides. So I don't think there's going to be, a huge play, and especially on a touchdown.
All right, this one. T-Swift shown within the first 5 minutes of game time. My understanding of this bet is from kickoff to the 10-minute mark, she's shown on TV. And for that to be minus 130 to the yes, that feels like elite value. So I'm going to take the yes because the networks, especially NBC, just cannot get enough.
This could be a good live after the coin toss bet, because if the Chief gets the ball first, I think these odds are insanely crazy that you're getting value there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take the yes as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take the yes as well, especially if there's big play by Travis Kelce. I've got to go with yes.
You'll have 15 million Swifties on Twitter rioting if she's not shown within
with
these
the first
5 minutes.
Yeah. So,
yeah. First touchdown, passing touchdown. This one kind of surprised me. Yes, minus 150, no, plus 113. I really like the no here. Given Pacheco's success and how an integral part of their offense he is, that increases their odds. Plus, you've got the Niners, their ability to run the ball with McCaffrey and Debo especially. I think getting plus money here on the no is pretty solid. So that's what I'll go with.
Yeah, and even throwing a little Pat Mahomes, even though he hasn't done it all year yet, I still think there's a decent chance.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say yes. I just think that I'll get to it later, but I really think there's going to be some exotic plays in the red zone, and a lot of the more exotic plays are passing versus running.
Okay. Successful two-point conversion. This one, yes, is plus 255. No, minus 340. I'll take the yes. I feel like two-point conversions have become a bigger part of the game in the last 5 years especially, so they're more prevalent than ever. So I'll roll with the yes and get some value.
Yeah, that seems like good value. I'm thinking it's going to be a lower scoring game, so 2 points could be what is needed if one team scores like two field goals and needs to get that eight to get going,
I'm going to say yes just for the value, but that's the way, Evan, you're right. That's the way it's been trending, and I think, if you tally up the last 5 years of Super Bowls, the odds probably aren't what's shown here. So I'm going to say yes because I think there's been more than none.
Okay. Largest lead of the game. Line is at 13.5, and it's juiced to the over. I actually like the under. I just think this is a tight game throughout. I'm expecting, like I said earlier, a lot more field goals than touchdowns. So I think when you factor that in as well, it should lead to the under on this particular bet. And you're getting plus 114 at it.
Yeah, I'm the same. This feels like a lot of people like, oh, two touchdown lead. Like, you see that all the time. But I just think, these two teams are so close that it's going to be real back and forth. So I have a tough time seeing a two touchdown lead at any point. So, but this one could get finished pretty quick, too.
How many times Taylor Swift shown on TV? Line is at 4.5, heavily juiced to the over at minus 175, under 4.5, plus 130. This is kind of a play on Travis Kelce's involvement, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, maybe not. The NFL is a moneymaker. They know that there's a lot of female audiences that are going to watch this game just for Taylor Swift. So maybe
I'm gonna flip my answer back and forth. Yeah.
I mean, when we're watching the divisional game or the championship game together, we're like, okay, we're counting how many times Taylor Swift was on screen. Wasn't it at least five?
Yeah, and it was pretty immediate. But Kelce also had like a monster game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he could.
I feel like anytime he's basically even targeted, they're going to show her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely going to show her, like, ooh, look who just came from Tokyo.
Well, it's got to be within the post-kickoff, right? Kickoff to the final snap, right? So it can't be pre-
Is that what the rules on it?
That's how I'm reading this.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. But even still, what we counted, I'm gonna try
and use this opportunity to pick up a point on you guys. I'll stick with the under.
Go for it.
I feel like that's the worst take ever. all right, longest fourth down conversion. Line is at 2.5 yards. Over is -105. Under is -115. For the life of me, I don't understand the under on this, really. I feel like both these coaches will get aggressive at a 4th-and-3. Plus, you could have, you know, late game close where they're not in a position to punt or kick, so they'll have to go for it on something longer than 4th-and-2. So I'll take the over 2.5 here. Better value, too.
Yeah, I'm going over. Exact same reasons. I just think that if this game is close at the end, the people are going to be going for a 4th down, and maybe they get one.
Yeah, I think you guys make a good point there, but I think I'm going to try to get a point on you. Take the under.
All right. Let's go. Onside kick. Yes, +1,500. No, -5,000. This shit never happens anymore. I'm on no.
No, absolutely no.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to win on this one. No.
All right, MVP. Mahomes +125. Purdy +235. McCaffrey +475. Kelsey +1,200. Debo +2,000. Pacheco +2,500. We'll stop there because we know it's going to be one of these quarterbacks or Kelsey. I'm going to take the Kelsey +1,200. You know, they might just full lean into
Let me ask you guys
what the women of America want.
You go first. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I see only like four real options for the MVP, and it's obviously the QBs. If you want to bet on Niners money line, you know, I think you might be better off going Purdy MVP or McCaffrey MVP, because I could see McCaffrey having a big game against this run defense and being able to get something, but. I love the narrative of Travis Kelce with Taylor Swift. If he has any sort of big game, you know the NFL is going to just latch onto that and just make him the MVP. And I think some other books you could get better odds than 1,200.
He'd have to have 2 touchdowns and like 100 yards, though, because otherwise Mahomes would have just as good of a game.
I mean, how big of a game did Cooper Kupp have when he won it?
Huge. And plus, like, Stafford only it had like two picks that game.
That's a good point.
I mean I can see it, but I'm on Mahomes because I think it's going to be tough for,
especially if they're trying to phase out Travis Kelce and get Noah Gray into the mix. You know, what better thing than sending Kelce off with an MVP? I'm not saying he's going to retire, but
all right. Liquid of the Gatorade, going red. I don't know. I don't really have a good take. But good value +350.
I saw a random tweet a week ago just saying like, oh, yeah, everybody's orange. The movement of orange being the color has just significantly swung. So I'm picking orange just for that reason.
Got to think Trump. Somebody's Trump moved the needle on the orange. You got to think.
Yeah, I'm going red just because both teams' colors are red, and I like the odds there, +350.
All right, Octopus. For those that don't know, this is the player that scored the touchdown, also gets the 2-point conversion. Odds, yes, is +1,400. No, -4,000. This, especially in what could be a lower-scoring game, in my opinion, I'm taking the no.
It happened last year, so I am going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, too. I just, unless it's McCaffrey, I'd have a tough time thinking that this is going to hit again. Hurts was just a perfect scenario last year.
All right, T Swift proposal. Yes, plus 210. No, minus 190. These two have been fucking dating for 5 months tops. This is fucking insane. Stop it. Plus, they have to win the game.
Yep. No.
Travis Kelce's not out there when the Niners are fucking get the trophy. Propose the this is insane. Yeah. If you're taking the yes,
that's an easy no.
Get yourself into the asylum. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, with you guys.
Those odds are terrible for something that is outlandish. Okay. Reba cleavage. This is what we're here for. Yes, plus 300. No, minus 500. She's a classy woman. She's not.
I don't know. I didn't know who she was just by the name, to be honest. So I Googled, and there's quite a few like low cut ones.
You don't know who Reba is?
No, not off the top of my head. Man. But I mean, I recognize her.
Chelsea
now that
loves
I'm
Reba.
Oops.
Oh my gosh. All right. You're gonna be in trouble if you.
Oh, I'm gonna be. I'm
you
gonna
study
be
up.
In trouble.
Yeah,
yep.
You better study up. Yeah, I'm going. No, she's gonna come out. She could come out in like a blazer. Like, yeah, I don't know.
It's 2024. I'm gonna say yes.
Let him breathe. She's also like 70.
Exactly.
I mean, Dolly came out as a Cowboys cheerleader.
Yeah,
so
body positivity. You know. Yeah. Let's show the older women in the world that you can look sexy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You're just a hater, Evan. That's what I'm hearing.
Reba hat color. I'm going blue. That's plus. It's like plus 1800. I don't know. What's wrong with a blue hat? Blue.
So they're
she's got red hair.
So she's for sure wearing a hat. I
guess.
So I'll go red because both teams are red. That is a stupid reason, but I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
Same. Yeah. Okay. A lot of with the Gatorade, but yeah, red.
Reba boot color, white, plus 500. You know, it's after Labor Day. She can do what she wants.
I don't know. I'm going white, too.
I mean, white's a great boot color, so let's go with it.
Okay.
I feel like that fits the cowboy country narrative.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Too. How many? Or I'm sorry. First song performed. It's Usher doing the halftime. So I'm gonna go with DJ Got Us Falling in Love. Plus 850.
So I did a little bit of research into this, and I guess I heard this take that there's a criteria for how they select this. It's got to be a somewhat unknown song, not one of your best.
Yep.
It's got to mention the name of the artist within like the first 5 seconds. It's got to be catchy and, you know, a good start to the song acoustically. And,
oh, my God.
The only one of his songs that fit all those. And it has to be a solo song and not, you know, featured by him.
Yep.
The only one that fits that is OMG. I don't even know that song. To be honest,
that's
with you guys.
Doesn't that start with Will I Am though going?
Yeah, that is a Will I Am song.
Yeah, no, yeah,
it's not a Will I Am song, but he's on it. I'm pretty sure.
Pow, pow, pow,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't fit what I just said. So maybe I'm still gonna get OMG, but I don't recommend
it. I was just listening to all these songs on the drive over here just to like get a refresher because a lot of them I'm like I don't remember it, but a lot of them are kind of like slower like R&B. Yeah. Like there's in my opinion only like three really get you going, and that's DJ Got Us Falling in Love, OMG, and then of course Yeah, which obviously gonna close in Yeah. But what I'm picturing is OMG. It's just through those slower songs, it just goes quiet, and then you just hear like. William going like, oh my God. And then it starts OMG and then goes into, builds up to DJ Got Us Falling in Love and finishes on Yeah. So I'm going to start with Love in This Club because it's the most upbeat of the rest available. So That's my take.
Yeah, I don't know that Usher has a song that doesn't feature another artist that's like popular.
I don't know if he does.
How many halftime songs? Over 8.5, minus 110, under 8.5, minus 110. I don't know Usher songs.
I don't know how much he's going to be able to pull out. So
he's going to be maxing out the number of songs that he plays, like lengthwise, because he doesn't have a lot of songs. So yeah, under. I think that's one of the best prop plays of the weekend.
Yep. Guest appearance, Alicia Keys -500, Post Malone -400, Lil Jon -300, Luda -250, Justin Bieber -200, Pitbull -120, Will.i.am +175, Nicki Minaj +310, P. Diddy +390, Lil Wayne +550, Taylor Swift +550, D. Geddes +640. Okay. I'm going Will.i.am because he's in that song. Oh my God. Or at least I'm pretty sure he is.
The only thing I'm sure about is if you want to bet on Taylor Swift in this halftime as a guest appearance, like, just give your money right to me because that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not
There's no way she's just coming off a plane from Tokyo and just like yep, I'm going to do the halftime
Mike
show.
Me.
So I'm with you on Will.i.am mostly for the OMG. So
I'm going Little John, and I just wish you can parlay this with a number of different words he says with just whatever the under. He's gonna have three words
the
he
extent
says
of his vocabulary
on three songs. Yeah. The one funny thing I was realizing is that David Guetta has been listed on like almost every one of these.
Yeah, he is.
He's never gonna be on. I don't know why he keeps on getting listed.
Okay. Kick of Destiny, make or miss. He missed last year. It's a make.
Yeah, it feels like a make.
I'm gonna make. You know, Gronk's a true American, true legend, and you know, now this year he had a coach in his corner, the late great Carl Weathers. Rest in peace. I had no idea he was a Raider. Let that torch burn. The Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. Gronk's gonna make the field goal if his life fucking depended on it, because to honor that man, American hero, Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers, Al Davis, Eternal Flame. Rename it now. Rename it fucking now. Robbie?
Yeah, make. It was just that whole commercial last year, or his kick, we were talking about it earlier. Just so weird. It just like appeared on screen as like, oh, here's Gronk kicking the field goal and it looks good. And oh, just goes way left. Like, okay. He's going to make it.
This is a fun one. Usher exposed nipple. Yes. +170. No. -200. I've seen a lot of Usher clips in my life and the nipple is always present. That guy's never wearing an undershirt.
I swear every picture I've seen of Usher has no shirt on. So give me yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go yes just because he's going to need – I'm surprised he has the halftime show, to be honest, because he's not a big artist even when he was huge, and he hasn't been huge in a while. So he's going to need a little bit of thrill and excitement to have people talking about him. So yes.
This feels like the biggest reach of a halftime since like the NFL had the Who do it like 15 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, locks of the week, guys. Robbie, I know you did your Debo +135. Adam, why don't you break down yours?
Yeah, I just think that both extremely proud and great play callers on both sides. You had the combo of Nagy and Reed in the Chiefs, and then you know, Shanahan on the 49ers. More so Chiefs, but I Christian McCaffrey, he has had a lot of passing touchdowns in his career, a lot of them with the Panthers, but he can throw the ball really well. The Chiefs have three former quarterbacks on their team, not named Patrick Mahomes. They had Blake the Belldozer, Travis Kelce, and there's one more. But I think that there is going to be a non-passing QB, or non-QB to throw a passing touchdown in this game. The odds are 35-1. The odds for a over 2.5 players throw pass is +172. The difference in those odds to me make absolutely no sense, because I think if anybody is going to throw the ball that is a non-quarterback in the game, it'll be in the red zone. And the likelihood of them actually connecting for a touchdown is pretty high. You saw Joe Mixon do it 2 years ago. I just don't, the odds of this are crazy given both teams have non-quarterbacks that have thrown passing touchdowns in the past and are good throwers of the ball, especially with these two exotic play callers and and the need to get different in the red zone.
All right, well said.
But it's a lock.
No.
I'm going with Noah Gray over 1.5 receptions, minus 118 at the time. I think it's come down, and now it's even plus money, according to intel I got from Mr. Adam not too long ago. So, yeah, I just think I don't think the Chiefs' strength is to try to match up with these Niners DBs on the outside. I think they'll try to use the tight ends in the middle of the field. And I think we'll see lots of multiple tight end sets, and I think it could lead to Noah Gray getting very involved in this game, especially early on. So the fact that his line is only at 1.5, I love it. Little background info, I am putting all my chips on the Noah Gray receptions ladder. So we're at over 1.5, we're over 2.5, which is plus 230, and we're at over 3.5, which is plus 530, I think, as well. So I just think that's crazy value, especially with what I saw 2 weeks ago in Baltimore, how involved he was. So, yeah, lock it up.
But it's a lock!
No!
All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for our Super Bowl podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It's been another fun season. As always, we appreciate your support. Good luck this weekend. Hope you are going to hit as many props as we are manifesting that we will. But until then, take care.